restrained and there are two photographers taking some photos. If it's okay with you, please. Thank you very much.
No, of course. Thank you very much. And we are all politicians, so we like being photographed. No, I'm very, very happy to be here. I've been a parliamentarian myself in Sweden for many years, mostly in opposition, actually. So for me, it's very important to have a close dialogue. And also, I know when it comes to EU politics, I mean, we in the Commission do a lot of proposals, then it has to be worked together with the European Parliament and the Council, but at the end of the day, it's the Parliament in the respective Member States who need to implement. So, I mean, this is also an opportunity for you, hopefully, to ask me some questions. If I may just start with the global situation that we are in. I mean, this is we have the time of instability is, I mean, we say it every day, but it's getting worse every day. And we have wars in Ukraine, we have wars in Iran, we have trade wars, we have climate change, we have all these things putting on each other. So, of course, this is really a difficult situation. The current war in Iran, of course, is an energy crisis, but it's also will, and we can see it sometimes have some impacts on our supply chain disruptions. It shows the scarcity that we have in Europe when it comes to resources and that we need to tackle and address this together. I would say when it comes to my portfolio, it's important to take care of our environment and tackle climate change, but it's not only about that, it is about our security and also our competitiveness and growth and our strategic autonomy, if you would like to call it that. I have some steps that we are going to from the Commission I would like to start with, that we are trying to work on. First is simplification, one of all the commissions are working with. I put forward an omnibus in December on a very range of different areas, waste when it comes to environmental permitting. And for me, it's been very clear from the beginning on the omnibus that it is addressing less administrative burden, less reporting, hopefully also more harmonization within the European Union. When this omnibus is adopted by the co-legislators and eventually also by parliaments, this could create savings for the industries and businesses and also public administrations with 1 billion euros per year. And for me, it's very important to say this, that the omnibus is not per se, it's not about lowering the environmental ambitions, but we need to reach our goals more easily. The second thing I want to raise is circularity and bioeconomy. And again, I've already touched upon it. The war in Iran, of course, also shows again how vulnerable we are in Europe. And now I'm on an island. I understand that you know this perfectly well. And when it comes to supply chains, when it comes to energy, when it also comes to critical raw materials. And that is true for whole of Europe. So moving to a more circular economy in Europe is vital, as I said, not only due to environment and climate, but also to resilience and competitiveness. Malta is leading when it comes to circularity. If I may so, still not good enough. Still you are better than you have 90% of circularity. And in the EU, we are 12. In Sweden, my country, we are lower. So we have a lot of possibilities here, I would say. It's an opportunity for Europe to treat our waste more as a resource and see to more solutions. Here, of course, being here, I've been on visits today, we talked about waste to energy as a solution. We need to work on this. And then just one thing that I put forward in December was on plastic recycling, because plastic recycling industry is in a crisis, so we need to address that. I'm putting forward a Circular Economy Act in September that we can talk about more. Just before I end on circularity, we have put forward a bioeconomy strategy last year. I know this is a big sector already here in Malta, at least in Europe also. Sometimes we are not, I don't maybe need to say this here, but sometimes I feel that people think it's a niche sector, but it is not. It is blue, no, it's blue, yes, here is blue, but it's big, but it has also a huge potential to grow, and especially when I'm here, of course, talking about the aquaculture and also the fishing and the blue bioeconomy. The third thing I want to raise is water. I'm going through my title, as you know, notice, and water resilience. Of course, I mean, you know this, that over extraction of water, not taking care of the rainfall, climate change, more extreme weather events, water pollutions are difficult, is difficult all over Europe, and also, I mean, water scarcity, I know you perfectly well are fully aware of. And we, of course, this is my first time here in Malta, but of course we discussed arches like the Vigna Court Aqueduct you showed me, and I also Googled. And of course this is a symbol of innovation when it comes to water. Exactly. So, I mean, for me, this is a place also to discuss water resilience. And tomorrow I'm visiting a desalination plant, also looking at the sewage treatment plant.
In Malta.
No, exactly. The state of the art. Everybody told me, so unfortunately, but I don't have the time to go. But absolutely, I understand. And really leading in the world. So absolutely. But this is something that is a priority for me and also for Malta. The fourth and last thing is, of course, biodiversity. This is also important for link. I would like to link it to the security, because since we know that biodiversity loss, degradation in soil health and all this are, of course, again, important for the environment and farmers, food production and so forth, but also for security reasons. So here, of course, it is important to enforce that and to also invest in nature. And here, of course, we have done a lot again on simplification when it comes to lately on the birds directive, on new guidance, but it's very important that we follow this. So I would like to stop there, because I'm really interested to listen to you, but I've had a really good day here in Malta so far, and I'm certain that tomorrow, more focus on water also, we will be very interesting. So I'm looking forward to listening to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and thank you for such an honor to have you before this Foreign and European Affairs Committee, where we try to have a bipartisan approach to a lot of issues which are very important, not only at an EU level, but very important for our citizens. And your portfolio, I mean, environment, water, resilience, and the competitive circular economy, I mean, it encompasses a lot of our current challenges, wherein we have an economy which has been growing at a fast rate, and economic growth growing of a remarkable success, but which got its positive and negative side effects as regards to challenges with our, especially with our environment. So this within a context as well of security, not only security with regards to military security and defense, but with regards to our dependence, energy dependence, water security, food safety, food security, self-sufficiency, these are the challenges which we are facing as any other EU country, but probably to a greater extent, wherein we are a very the smallest EU member state with limited resources as regards foodstuffs and regards our challenges, even with regards to water extraction and in guaranteeing access to water. So these are all issues which I believe we are debating, but I believe even both Parliament and more on a political platform, we have to discuss more within our politics, in the sense that apart from partisan politics, but these are the issues which our citizens are facing. Obviously, we are facing environmental issues, which are related as well to our growth, and there are a lot of challenges in that regard. And you mentioned that I believe that we should abandon to a certain extent, and this is a more of a personal opinion, that there is some form of contradiction between environment and competitiveness, both at a country as a member state level, but even at a European level, because, as you rightly said, even the green economy and the blue economy, in our case, which is relevant as well, presents opportunities for growth and niche economies and niche opportunities which we can exploit. And I believe that this issue with regard to environment versus competitiveness, I don't think it's the right approach. We have to see it as an opportunity, not environment as a problem to our competitiveness and our growth. I have to mention a current challenge which we have both in our territorial waters but even in the Mediterranean, which is the Arctic metagas, which both government and I believe other governments within the Mediterranean basin expressed that they need effective solidarity from the European Union with regards to solving this issue, which I believe it is both a time bomb and an environmental bomb, in the sense that we somehow it has to be resolved. Waste to energy, it's another issue which is important for us, and I believe that even at government level we can do more about it and do projects to which present opportunities in that sense. And another issue which is very important, and this is my personal opinion, but I believe that other members, my honourable colleagues, will follow suit in their submissions, the emission trading scheme, which I had an opportunity to write publicly about it. I believe that we lost a bit of control about it in the initial stages of this legislative initiative. From an environmental point of view, I believe that it is a good initiative, but it presents two problems, in my opinion. Three problems, which I will be concise about. One, the EU cannot impose rules that are not imposed internationally. We cannot impose rules on our aviation or maritime industry that are imposed only at an EU level and are not imposed by the International Maritime Organization, because it will put us and other EU countries that are strong in maritime, such as Greece, Cyprus, which come to mind, that will affect them. Secondly, we are an island state. I believe that approximately 98% of our imports are through air or shipping, and this will obviously have an inflationary effect on us. Thirdly, the current situation is we have no man is an island, but Malta is an island, but we depend on other countries. It's futile saying that we won't be affected from what is happening at a European and international level. I don't think it's a plausible thing to say that we're not affected through what is happening around us. We are affected, or if we are not currently affected, we will be affected in due course. And I believe that the European Commission should consider a suspensive effect of this scheme, which will put additional burdens on our citizens, on our industry, on our aviation, on our maritime industry. This is something which I am saying for now on a personal initiative, But I believe that the EU, and not only for Malta, because it will affect everyone, what is happening with the Strait of Hormuz, with decisions, unilateral decisions from the United States, from Iran, these will surely affect us, and I believe that at this stage, at least, this ETS has to be suspended until we have a clear situation about what will happen at a European, Middle East, or global level. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and I believe that Honorable Fenech Adamu will have wish to his intervention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presence this afternoon. I share most of what Honorable Edward Zammit-Lewis said. You rightly spoke about your remit, which speaks about the environment and competitiveness. And so my first message to you, my first appeal to the Commission is that we should never depart from the idea that Europe must remain competitive in order to safeguard its environment. The moment that we speak about safeguarding the environment and trying to unhinge that from the real need to remain competitive, I think our environment agenda will fail. And this applies more and more to a country like Malta. You rightly referred to this effort on the European level of harmonization. But in tandem and hand in hand with the concept of harmonization, I stress and I always stress that the one size fits all in the European Union is not the way forward. In particular, with Malta, in particular in certain areas such as the environment, such as in water resilience, such as in energy, such as the maritime industry, such as so many other aspects. Being an island makes Malta very, very particular insofar as the implementation of a one-size-fits-all or set of regulation in the European Union to all European countries. I say this because I believe that the environmental omnibus package is a step in the right direction. So we know when we went through a period where everyone was pushing towards the utmost highest standards for all companies, irrespective of the size of companies, irrespective of the nature of the core business of companies. And now, I think when you examine the reforms which are being proposed, we positively note that, you know, countries like Malta, where our biggest companies would employ 2,000 people, not more, our companies would have turnovers, not running in the billions, trying to impose obligations, trying to impose expensive obligations on all companies across the board, irrespective of the size of such companies, would have been very detrimental for many of these companies. So the what is being proposed here is, I think, a step in the right direction. This applies also to the circular economy. I think the concept of a circular economy is a concept which applies then to countries like Malta more than any other country, in the sense that I think Malta, being a country which has no raw materials, a country which depends basically on the very, very limited resources it has, the circular economy assumes much, much importance. And there again, because we have a booming tourism industry, which in itself creates an enormous amount of products and use of products. We have a population increase. We have the impact of an economy which has evolved. So I think even when the European Commission comes to discuss the imposition or the regularization of a circular economy, this assumes much importance for Malta because, as I said, being such a small country with limited natural resources and the vast population further increased by a massive influx of tourism, the importance of a circular economy becomes much more important. I'll stop there at the moment.
Honourable Mario De Marco, please.
Just a few minor points from my end. First of all, thank you, Steve, for coming here.
you rightly indicated, to situations of global uncertainty. But I think there's always a silver lining to whatever happens in life. You want to take that silver lining. I think the energy crisis, or rather, which the current conflict within the Middle East, Tehran, Iran, has causing, and the rise in the volatile pricing of oil, has shown that we need to depend so much more on renewable energy. So if we just simply take, for example, what's happening with electric vehicles, where there was a time where the sales of electric vehicles was dropping, and there's also a strong lobby for the EU to postpone the mandatory phasing out of normal combustion engine vehicles. We're seeing that suddenly the fact that oil and fuel can be so volatile a price has, I think, renewed the interest in electric vehicles and alternative energy and renewable energy. So I think we need to take this moment of crisis as an impetus on making greater awareness to the average consumer and also to the states that are, that yes, we all need to totally wease off our over-dependence on fuel, on oil, and really make the necessary investment and that leap that we have been talking so much about for renewables. Secondly, the point of Europe speaking in one voice. I think if our experiences in the past few months have taught us how important it is for Europe to rely on itself and itself alone, whilst having partners outside of Europe is crucial. But at the end of the day, there's so much that we can depend on others, and it is critical that we depend on what Europe can really generate. I think when there was the issue regarding Greenland, Europe spoke with one voice, Europe not giving an inch. I think the fact that today Greenland is now off the radar screen is a positive effect, which shows that when Europe is really united, it brings its results. So beyond issues of international affairs, I think we also need to look at issues within internal affairs. And obviously energy and the dependence on sources of energy coming from outside Europe must teach us that at the end of the day, we can generate enough within to remove this dependence on others. Secondly, also we do realize that conflicts also have environmental consequences. So what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz can also be an environmental disaster, both in terms as to what can happen within the shipping, within the straits, but also in terms of the conflict which can effectively impact desalination plants, power plants, and other issues which are related to energy, but consequentially also related to the environment and to water. My last point, and I'll stop here, is the issue which was rightly raised by Dr. Samit Lewis regarding the ETS. The Malta Maritime Forum has raised a number of issues regarding its impact on the Maltese economy. As indicated also by Dr. Negarami, given the fact that we are an island state, and given the fact that we have only territory of 316 kilometers squared, we are one of the most densely populated countries, if not in Europe, possibly also in the world, which means that we don't have enough territory to grow all our demand. Faced with this, we have a growing population and growing tourism numbers. So obviously, we are totally dependent on shipping for our internal consumption. The ETS has another part here, brought an estimated increased costs of 100,000 per call for some routes, for certain shipping routes, compared to non-EU routes. Secondly, it's estimated that the cost for every container from Italy to Malta is expected to rise by about 100 euros, with projections of it going up to 255 euros per container by 2026. There's also the risk of carbon leakage, with the Malta Maritime Forum warning that the tax mix nearby non-EU ports in North Africa, such as Egypt or Morocco, more attractive and creating an imminent risk that major shipping lines may actually be bypassing Malta. Then, obviously, there's the ultimate impact on consumers. So what is being proposed effectively is rather than maybe a suspension of the ETS, because at the end of the day, the ETS does have a noble cause, is to have the so-called island clause, whereby rather than having, obviously, again, the one-size-fits-all situation, the fact that you have a country which is an island state, which is obviously so much more dependent on shipping than any other country forming part of the EU, which is part of the larger continent, obviously, so the impact on us is greater than the impact that you would have on other great European nations that are not as dependent. So we think that perhaps it may be made late in the day, but I think we really need to reconsider the impact that this could be having on our own inflation and costs for shipping. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable De Marco, and I give the word to Honourable Bernard Gregg. Thank you.
I share most what Edmund Zamet Lewis, Honourable Zamet Lewis, said. I had 2 points, one of which was the ETS, but Honourable Maria De Marco mentioned it with regards to unfair advantage that North African ports have. So this area is different from Northern Europe, but rather specifically matter that affects Mediterranean European ports. And the other issue is regarding the Arctic metagas, but not only. It would not only, unfortunately, if something had happened, not only affect our tourism, our biodiversity, our environment, but our seas, but most of all, unfortunately, our water, which we get our water from the desalination plants, and of course that comes from the sea. So just imagine if Malta would have had a tragic environmental catastrophe, and that would affect, although there are special filters in place, but that would affect, I mean, drinking water. And what would we do without drinking water?
Thank you very much, Honourable Bernard Gregg. Honourable Amanda Spetana-Gregg, thank you very much.
I fully agree and share what my colleagues have just said. We understand that economic success and environment responsibility must go hand in hand. This is the only way to remain competitive and sustainable. Having said that, being an island, we face several difficulties, as Honourable De Marco said, as mentioned by my colleague before. I fully agree with having an island clause, because we are we have special circumstances, and we cannot say that we have the same facilities as other countries had. So this is very important that we are viewed, or else we are affected differently from other countries which have other raw material, we have other resources, because we are an insular, we are a small country that we face a lot of difficulties in this circumstances.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please, Commissioner.
Thank you very much for all your contributions, and let me just reflect a little bit, and I will of course also reflect a little bit on the ETS, even though it's not really in my remit. It's my colleague Wopke Hoekstra, Commissioner Hoekstra, but still, I mean, as you all also discussed, of course, this is one of the things that we in the Commission discuss a lot at the moment. Just let me start with, and hopefully also end with, because I think I said this very many times, that the green transition is not a contradiction with the competitiveness. And you talked about that. I mean, we need to be, I mean, yes, I mean, Malta now you have a big growth than a lot of other member states. Some of the other big member states are in a really difficult economic situation, which of course hamper all of us. I mean, from my view, competitiveness and prosperity and growth it's a necessary to do the transition when it comes to exactly. Just too difficult word for me. Thank you for to pronounce.
It happens to the best.
I'm practicing my Maltese now, but that is not going so well. For me, this is really important to do all the other things that we need to do when it comes to security, when it comes to the climate change that we need to address. I would argue that we are in a technique shift, and that is what we are doing. Sometimes, to be honest, in the political environment that I am, it is, as you say, a little bit difficult to talk about the green transition, and I would oppose that because it is necessary, but it's also a technique shift that is happening that we need to support. And this can actually, and if you read the Draghi report, which we all did for 2 years ago, see that this is actually our competitive advantage in Europe, our businesses. And here, of course, I will come back to that. The ETS also plays a part. I totally understand that you are an island. I totally understand you are a small state, even though I'm coming from a little bigger state, but I sometimes also small and middle-sized states are really important in this European Union, in the system, exactly. So sometimes I try not to use that myself because, I mean, most of us are small, but we are really important for the security issues and everything. But I understand that you have limited sources, but with that, and I totally do understand that in a lot of reasons. But also Europe lack a lot of resources. That, I think, is why the circular economy is so really important. Before I go in then to the ETS, or maybe I should start with that then. Okay, the ETS has, we as the continent has a really important job to do when it comes to tackling climate change, because we are the ones that are warming up the fastest. We are also hit very hard, and Malta is also, by extreme weather events. We are, and this is linked also to the energy crisis that we are into, what we all understand. I mean, we learned the hard way 2022 when the full aggression towards Ukraine happened, that being dependent on Russian gas and oil was a really bad thing. Being dependent on anyone, whether it's US or Middle East, is also a bad thing. So what we learned in the discussions, I will say, in the Commission lately has been energy security. And that means getting away from fossil fuel because we don't have it. We need to have homegrown energy. And that is mainly, I mean, you are working with renewable, we are working, some other states are working with nuclear, we are talking about waste to energy here, we are talking about other bio. So I mean, this is the future for Europe because we need to be secure. Because that at the end of the day, the high cost will end up with the consumer, whether we like it or not, and also being dependent is not a good thing. So this is what we are trying to do. On the ETS, you know, it has also served us well. It also have a lot of industries that have invested heavily in the decarbonization. Then you know that the EU is taking in the revenue from this, giving 80% back to the member states to disturb to different. But I mean, at the moment, this is a discussion. I would say that there is a very huge support also to stay with the ETS. But we are doing a review. But it's not me. I'm not all into the details here. But there is a review going on according to the law. And I hear about. We will take note of the island perspective. So I would just saying that it's also important to stay the, and that is linked maybe to the electric vehicle. It's important to stay to the
plan, and because there have been a lot of investments also in the decarbonization industries that wants to have productivity. So if policymakers are changing, that is also bad for Europe's economy. Then just on the circle economy, I would say that I am totally unaware of, and I said it many times today, I said it to the journalists this morning, I know that it's not one size fits all for a lot of things. I mean, I also have a forest in my, and we were in Buschetta, today, and I'm coming from a country with a lot of forests. I understand that, and that is actually one of my examples. I talk with people when I say, I mean, it's a very different forestry in Sweden compared to Malta. So, of course, that is why we're also working with directives, not only regulations. But with that said, when it comes to circular economy, I think I am trying to, when we talk about forward the Circular Economy Act, we are trying, I have Enrico Letta's word like one union, one market in my head, because I think that is, especially for small countries, it will help to have a business case to have also the whole market to actually both sell and import the products. Because, I mean, the members, the small and medium-sized businesses, industries today don't always want to go into the market because it's too complicated. So I think if we really want to be competitive, we really need to use this single market. We talk about it every time. It's so good and we like it and nobody's against it, but still we have 27 different rules. And shipping waste, for example, takes... And I mean, the example that I use and President von Leyen used, it can take 3 months to ship waste between different member states. It goes faster to ship it to Switzerland because of different rules within the member states. And I know you are specific because you're also an island, but I mean, we can do better, I would say. And this is for how I see simplification also. But we are not only doing the omnibus, we are continuing working with a lot of stress. I mean, from my portfolio, we are now looking into the Water Framework Directive, for example. We are stress testing habitat directives, seeing that they are fit for purpose. That doesn't mean that we can lower the environmental ambitions, because I think that is, I already said it in my first intervention, very close linked to security. But we need also to see that they are feasible and efficiently. We can reach them efficiently. Then, linked to the Hormuz Strait and the circular economy, I think that is, I mean, I would like to say it's not only an energy crisis; it's an oil crisis. Like it or not, that we are dependent not only for energy when it comes to oil. We have plastic production. We have a lot of plastic. We have it in our clothes. We have it in our. I mean, more or less everything is plastic, and that is of course something that we need to. So I'm trying to see how we can, without sounding like, use the crisis, if you may say so, to also find the momentum when it comes to circularity, because I think that we will see a lot of more crises on the value chain, on the resources from this. Whether even though it is to be a peace tomorrow, which we don't think. I hear you also when we're talking with one voice from the European perspective. I think that is very important. And, of course, tomorrow I think the Minister of Foreign Affairs meets in Luxembourg, and I suppose they will discuss a lot of foreign policies. And I just my view here is maybe also we are also talking about enlargement, getting more members in. It will be, I think that we also need to discuss on how we work internally in the European Union. That's not my portfolio, but I think that is a good question. I think if I got your question right, is on the LNG, on the environmental and the ship, what consequences that would have had if
the Arctic.
I can just say that we follow it closely. To refer to where I come from, we have in the Baltic Sea, I don't know, outside Estonia, I think it's like not one ship, it's very many ships, were very old, that everybody's both, the, it's bad because they are delivering oil to, well, from Russia, but it's also, it's an environmental risk. We have seen it in the Black Sea. So, of course, this is a threat to the environment and also to the area you have, well, not you, but around you. And this is, I'm blaming someone else, not blaming, but I, it's not really in my remit, it's my colleague Tsitsikostas and the DG Move that is in close contact with Malta, also and other member states on how to be prepared and handle and tackle this. But of course we are working with the sanctions and other things. So, but absolutely, I just, I share that challenge. Then I have written something that I absolutely cannot read. I probably have missed a question, but some of these questions I will actually take with me then to my colleagues. And we are working with these questions, well, not day and night, but at the moment we are in a new crisis, as I said, and this is, you probably also are working with the new crisis that we are in together. We are working together with the people, of course, because we need to not protect them, but get them on this transition that we are doing. So, but I would say that I'm also, I said it earlier when I met the NGOs, I'm, yes, the world is a difficult place to be in at the moment, but I think it's very important that we also deliver to people some hope for that we have also new techniques, we have also, we are the best continent to live on, we have skills, we have academia, we can travel freely. So, I mean, it's a lot of things that we can build on also, but we, of course, need to do some action then. And that's what I'm trying to do together.
Thank you very much for your time, Commissioner, and for taking the time to meet us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Grazie sul segretario e nara il-minuti tal-laqa data taħtax tafrar ta' sena kurrenti u etnuħoda l-onorevoli membri tal-kumitat et jaqblu mal-kontenut tal-minuti u nistaw naddu. Grazie. Affarijiet uħra bħala t-tiretajt imma u xej u għallura nidikar s-seduta mal-għagra.